Welcome to today's edition of Time in the Vineyard with Pastor Teacher Jeff Toring. Today's broadcast is being brought to you from the pulpit of Liberty Valley Church, Macedonia, Ohio.
Psalm 119, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. O, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all Thy judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Our Heavenly Father, again, we ask that You would bless the reading and the teaching of Your Word. And we know that Your Word returns not void, but it accomplishes the purpose that You set it out for. And we know that Your Word is for a purpose. This is not just something on a page, that it does have a purpose to achieve. And so does the body of Christ that stands and sits here. All of us, including the other churches that are in the neighborhood, state, country, world. We're all on the same page. We're all having the same purpose to propagate the gospel, to bring people to Yourself and to teach them. We know that there is an enemy, and we know he has a plan. So help us to learn what Yours is, and we'll be grateful for it. Help us to teach the little ones. We're reminded of Matthew 18, who's the greatest in the kingdom, and to bring them to know You. And to keep them on the winning side. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we deal with the war plan of the ages, we've come to the point where Abraham was called, and now we are found ourselves with the tribe or a family of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then they make their way into Egypt, and then Egypt they stay for about 400 years. And they become a nation until finally we would get to the Exodus that we would get to. But as we now have a nation that deals with, the nation will have to have a law. There was no law in specific that was regarding Abraham and just his family. Laws are laws of the land. And so in order to have laws of the land, you have to have first a land. You have to have a nation. And so as they migrated around as Semitic people, as nomadic families or tribes, they had laws of the lands that they had to obey, and then the law of God written in their heart. And what we're going to do is, now that we're progressing through time and the plan of God is revealing, we're going to have a law. Now, we don't know what to do with the law. Many people don't understand the law. They don't know what to do with the law, and it ends up being negative. If you talk to some people in a liberal church, they have nothing to do with the law or the Old Testament. And so what do you do with the law? Satan's plan is to dumb people down. That's his plan. We want to dumb people down. We want them to be halted with sheer entertainment. We want them to sit in a room in front of a video game for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and just dumb them down to the point where they have no idea what's going on, and neither do they even care. That is the strategy of the devil himself. The old strategies, the strategies of the kingdom, were to let's propagate using our brain and thinking and higher thinking. So if you look back in our country, most of the universities were seminaries. They were revolved around the Word of God and higher thinking. So what the devil has is he's either dumbed us down to the point where we're like Al Bundy, or where he's teaching us things that are false knowledge and false information. Just load you up with false information, evolution, and all these things. What God is trying to do here as we achieve this is he is trying to achieve a superior, smarter, brighter, best nation. When we read through Psalm 119, it looks as though, at least it would appear, that the psalmist is of the opinion that the law is good. At least he sees it in a positive light. And if we looked at 119, we could look at the entire psalm, but I don't want to stay here too long. But it says that in the beginning, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Blessed is spiritually happy or joyful or thankful. They are blessed who walk in the law of the Lord. Again, blessed or blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Again, down in verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Again, he says, I will praise thee. And when you're in praise, you would think it's somewhat jolly or happy. Or you can look at it in the other way, in a praise where you feel unworthy and you have this sense of humility, but still taken in a positive light. I don't think anybody can look at praise in a negative way. You can't really. I mean, no one is praising God in a negative sense. Whether it's humility or happiness, it's still in a positive light. And it's according to his righteous judgments, statutes, law, or his word of God. Then he goes on, and he says, well, 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? What do you do when life goes sideways and it's all messed up? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Well, taking heed thereto according, again, to his word. And then he says, okay, well then, with my whole heart have I sought thee. What would cause a person to seek him with their whole heart? Why? Why doesn't the whole world do that then? If the law is so good and the teachings are so good, why is it that the world in and of itself want nothing to do with the law? They don't seek the law, the Bible, with their whole heart. They don't seek the Lord with their whole heart. Why? And then if you look in the churches, there's tons and tons of people that sit in churches that never, ever read their Bible. They have no desire to read their Bible. Why? Why is it that this person here is saying, with my whole heart, I have sought thee, and don't let me wander from the commandments? What would cause him to do that? And why does that not cause certain people to do that? Why do they not have this desire for the sincere milk of the word? And if you skip down to 14, he speaks by experience. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as all riches. Why is this particular psalmist rejoicing in the way of his testimonies? And when there's the other hand, there's people that don't. Why is he different? Why is this guy saying, I am rejoicing more so in reading your word and in your testimony and all these things, and other people are not? But he noticed that he's speaking of experience. This particular person has rejoiced. He enjoys it. He's fully enjoying the law of God. And if we were to turn a page over, staying in the Psalm 119, look at it in Psalm 119:97, he becomes emphatic, almost emotional. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. His mind is conditioned to think. Now, our minds of 21st century Americans are not conditioned to think. In fact, we're conditioned to do the opposite, aren't we? We're conditioned not to think. So turn on the radio and just listen to people talk and put. I mean, if you look, and I watch Fox News. I'm addicted. Sometimes I'm tired as can be, and before I go to bed, I want to turn that on and find out. And they never say anything. It's talking points. I mean, it's the same things over and over and over and over. And I watch the show for a half hour, and the next program comes. I watch Hannity, and he says the exact same things to the point where I'm nauseous. And then the next show comes on, and I can't turn it off. And I'll watch another half hour, and I'm tired as can be. I mean, my eyes are just, and I'm watching it. And it's the same pundits, the same talking points, the same things, the same thing. And I think, good night, don't they ever have any reporters that actually get news? No, because that wouldn't sell. Because we're conditioned not to think. Just give me the talking points, give me the highlights, and let's go. Hear what he is saying. I love thy law, the Bible. It's my meditation all the day. The psalmist is conditioned to think. And to think deeply. The secret things of the Lord. To think. Look at it in 98. Through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. That would lead you to like the Word of God, wouldn't it? Don't you like being smarter than the enemies? Don't you like when you get into this conversation with people and they're ridiculing or saying whatever it is, and they're clearly the enemy, and then you outsmart them? You know, we used to say it back in when I was young. We say, burn, you know, burn, when you say something. And now it's coming back around. Some of you think it's new, but it's not new. Burn, you know, you're outsmarting them. Well, as adults, we do the same thing. I mean, we get gratification, don't we? I mean, it's prideful and God not to, but it does feel good when you outsmart people. It's rejoicing. Now, we're doing it in a way of humility, but I have to tell you, it's better to be on the winning side than it is on the dumb side, isn't it? He's wiser. Look at 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I am thinking of these things all the time, the wisdom of the Bible, the wisdom of God, these things that are so much smarter that I can go to a university that as liberal as can be and have conversation with a teacher and completely win the argument. I don't have to give talking points. I don't have to try to be slick. I can just be simply smarter than they are. Again, that could cause someone to rejoice. Verse 100. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I'm up straight and narrow. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. God has been the teacher. And that's why he says in 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. He knows that because he is now smarter and that the law has made him superior, that he is going to be successful and prosperous and happy. So that he can start out with it back here in the beginning. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Happy, joyful. And I have rejoiced in thy way because of thy testimonies. So what God is trying to do is he's trying to make us a superior people. He has written down his law and his instruction manual so that we will be happy. And that, like Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So then, here's the plan. All right, who wouldn't want that? So go over to Exodus 19 and go to the beginning and see when the law was being given. Exodus 19. We have a brand new nation. We just made our escape. We are slaves. We are uneducated. We know nothing but making brick. We can make a good brick, though, and we can make it out of stubble, even if there's no straw. But as far as my education goes, that's about all that I have, unless you're Moses, who was educated in all the sciences and mathematics of Egypt. But other than that, the whole entire nation probably is almost illiterate. We're starting from scratch. Now look. Exodus 19. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Can you hear God saying that? If ever I could think God would speak in a proud voice, it would be there. Don't you think? You've seen what I did to the Egyptians. We won. They thought that we were backed into a corner. But you've seen what I did. And then you can see it play out in your mind. I mean, if ever you were proud of somebody, I read through some of the Bible stories, and I am so, I mean, sometimes I can just, I mean, I literally have gone outside and sang in the woods, you know, Jesus saves. I have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Because God is the Almighty God. And when you read some of the stories, it is fantastic. And so he says, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. I mean, they beheld his wondrous works. They saw these miracles that Moses did when they were challenged by the magicians. I mean, let's think of the children. Children, the little Jewish children. They got to see things. I mean, they were absolutely amazed. They saw frogs all over the land. Moses brought frogs all over. I mean, they were like, the kids were like, oh my gosh, there are frogs in the ovens. There are frogs in the kitchens. They saw women screaming, jumping on chairs. You know, I mean, they were just, I thought that is the coolest thing that our God did for us. They saw lice, they saw all these things, they saw the Red Sea part. And then the children too, you know, and think, the people, I mean the adults, well, you know, it's not a big deal, you know, because we're adults. But the kids, you know, they walked through the Red Sea parting, they thought, this is absolutely cool. This is fantastic. God is doing this for us. And then the quiet aftermath. You know how quiet it must have been when the water came crashing down on the Egyptian soldiers? They're floating dead face down in the water. The Red Sea is full of them. And we made it. There had to be that Holy Spirit hush, you know what I'm saying? When you hear preaching in churches and you know that the preacher's been anointed by the Spirit and it absolutely, you can hear a pin drop in church. We've all been there. I guarantee you that's what it was like when the waters all went down and they were, I mean, you're looking at your family. I thought for sure we were gone. And we made it. The wonders of God. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We lived. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. A peculiar treasure is like an exotic jewel, he's saying. You're going to be, for me, a very fancy. I mean, there's excitement about you. There's a separate case just for you. You are a peculiar treasure. There's a separate, you're separated, peculiar. You're holy. Holy means you're separate unto God. You're not like the rest. Everybody else is different. They're all them, you know. There's two kinds of people. There's them, and then there's us. And you're a peculiar treasure unto me. Very separate. I heard a while back a really good sermon. I mean, it wasn't an exposition, but it was by attorney David Gibbs, and he has the perfect radio voice, and he was doing a sermon, and he talks about when he became a big-time lawyer, you know, and my son's going to become a big-time lawyer, so I can't wait until that happens, and I hope he tithes at our church and that he takes us out for steaks as much as we can. Anyway, this guy, David Gibbs Jr. Law, you know, his own law firm. And he says he can recall, and I heard, and I wish that I could just play it because he told the story so wonderfully when he became a big shot lawyer. When we first planted the church, you know, I bought myself a pen. And it was a really nice cross chrome pen, you know. And I remember I'd come to the pulpit with my pen, you know, because all the preachers had pens. And then somebody asked you, you're like, do you have a pen? And I'm like, I do. Here's my pen. It's a chrome cross pen. Well, David Gibbs, when he became a big shot, he wanted to go buy himself a new pen. So he goes off to this pen shop at the mall just for pens. You know, it's an expensive luxury pen shop. So he goes off and he's like, I want to buy a new pen. The guy's like, yeah? He goes, yeah, well, what kind of pen do you want? He's like, I want a nice pen. He goes, oh, well, I have these pens. He's like, wow, those are nice pens. And so he's looking through the, you know, it's like a jewelry store, but it's for pens. And so he's like, yeah, there's his pens. And he's like, oh, those are nice pens. And, you know, and he's thinking, I'm a big shot lawyer now, making $350 an hour. And so I need a really nice pen. He goes, well, that kind of pen. He goes, yeah, that kind of pen. He goes, well, that kind of pen is in the back room. This guy took this lawyer, Gibbs,
through the back door. And in the back of this, there was a separate room with LED lights. And there was a case that was all glass enclosed. And they came out and they said, "Would you like a latte in here? Would you sit down while we bring the salesman out for this particular pen? So here, sit down." And there's music playing and you have fancy lights. And he's drinking now in his expensive cup his latte as he's waiting in the special pen room. Then the guy comes out and he opens the case. And he pulls out the case that's within the case. And he opens up this case. And there it is. It's the pen. "How much is this pen?" he asked. And he gave him the price and he said, "I think I'm going to go for another pen, thank you." And he closed it and put it in the hand. And I thought, that's what you call a peculiar treasure. God just saved them and he said, "If you will obey me, my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. Above all people, far superior. You will be able to outsmart your teachers. You will be able to outsmart all the ancients. You will know the wisdom of darkness. You will know the secret counsels of God. You will know things. You will be educated far greater in mathematics and history and all things. If you do, you will be above all people, superior. For all the earth is mine. The whole thing is mine. But you will be this treasure unto me. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Tell them this, Moses. Go down there off the mount and tell them this. So Moses and 7 came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. Now, you'd ask yourself, who wouldn't want that? I mean, who would say no? Nobody. So what do they reply? Verse 8, "And all the people answered together." Of course, there was nobody who would say no. "All the people answered together and said, 'All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do.' And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." Okay. Now we have a law. We've accepted. I want to be a peculiar people. I want to be this treasure. I want to be superior. Who wouldn't? Well, okay, let's go over to Deuteronomy 28 when finally we want to make our way towards the close. We could go through the entire law, but let's just go through just a portion of the blessings and cursings. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." I like that. Let's hear some more. "And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field, and blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be the basket in thy store, and blessed shall be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out, and blessed, blessed, blessed." And it's all good stuff. And again, who wouldn't want that? Everybody in their right mind would say, "Give me that." Problem is there's conditions, because it's the law. It's conditional. So then you have the problems. Verse 15, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field, and cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, and cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land," and on he goes. Why wouldn't you want to do what the Lord tells you to do? Why does the majority of people not? Why do we find our Bibles
on shelves.
Why wouldn't you want it? Why does some of us say we don't agree with the psalmist, "Oh, how I love thy law, and it's my meditation all the night and all the day"? Why? Well, and there's an interesting verse that goes along with the cursings. Because he goes on and he says, look at verse 26, "Thy carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them from you." I mean, it's going to get bad. "The Lord will smite thee with botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch. And you can't be healed, and he'll smite you with madness and blindness." This is just absolutely terrible. And he goes on. I mean, it gets incredibly bad. You'll be dispersed. You'll be carried off to Babylon. And the timeline goes. The war plan of God continues to go. And he takes you, and you are bondage in Egypt. And then he takes you through the Red Sea. And then he takes you around in the wilderness. And he teaches you his law. And he says, if you will keep this law, you'll be this peculiar treasure. It will be absolutely fantastic. But if you don't, you'll be cursed. And you say, nobody would want to ever do that. But it ends up being a curse, because the whole generation doesn't make it. And the majority of people don't find it. We know that Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, narrow is the gate that leads unto life, and few there be that find it." Why is that though? Why did it turn out to be that way when in the beginning they all knew? They saw the miracles of God. They saw the wonders of God. And why do they still not do it? One little tiny verse, look at it. Verse 47 of Deuteronomy 28. "Because thou served not the Lord thy God with joyfulness." He loves a cheerful giver. It isn't about law. It never was about law. It never should be legal. It never should be forced. Somehow, some way, you get the curse because you don't serve the Lord with joy. There are opportunities after opportunity after opportunity to serve the Almighty King. You can be knighted. When my daughter was young, I was enthralled. I thought for sure, and it's probably one of the things that I regret, and maybe one day I can somehow make it up. But I mean, when she was young, I was convinced I got to take to see my princess to go see the Queen. I mean, we got to get over to England, and I got to make an. So I called. I'm like, I don't want to just go over there and see her away from the castle. I mean, I want an appointment. So I called all kind of travel agencies, and they're like, "You can't just make an appointment with the Queen." And I go, "I want an appointment with the Queen. I mean, it don't have to be private, just me and us three. But I want more than just this kind of thing. You know, this is my princess darling, and we are going to see the Queen." And I didn't try hard enough. Joy to serve the King. How would you feel if the Queen called you and said, I'm now knighting you, and you are now called Sir"? The King of Kings calls us to himself and says, "I will knight you. You will be my peculiar treasure, better than Sir Lancelot or any of the others. Just serve me and do it with joy." What a privilege it is to serve the Lord. I'll never forget seeing that little girl's face when I jumped out of the woods and scared her to death. "Who are you?" she asks. It doesn't matter. I wanted to scare you. Just for Jesus' sake. Just so that you had a good time at a Christian church function. We get to serve the King, brothers. And to serve Him with joy. With friends that we like. And have fun doing it. "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things." The key to the war plan of the ages is that we would serve the Lord with joy and gladness of heart. How do you do that? Well, you just get involved. You know, there's people who want to go swimming
And, you know, you got to dip your toe in the water to see if it's cold or not, you know. I was blessed to have friends of mine when I was growing up that were downright nuts. I mean, cuckoo nuts. We would jump off bridges. And I don't even know if there's any rocks down there. How do you know there's rocks down there, I asked him. How do you know that's deep enough? How do you know you're not going to get stuck in the mud? He said, I don't know. Jumps off. I go, well, I ain't going to be showing up. Off you go. And into the water, you jump off. And there are no rocks down there. And there ain't no mud down there. Don't stick your toe in the water. Jump in. The water's fine. Serve the Lord with gladness and humility, and then you'll find out, oh, I love thy law.
You've been listening to Time in the Vineyard with pastor-teacher Jeff Toring. Today's broadcast was brought to you from the pulpit of Liberty Valley Church, Macedonia, Ohio. For more information, you can call the church at 330-554-7606 or check us out on the web at libertyvalleychurch.org. That's libertyvalleychurch.org.